I'm speaking with Wesley Todd, CEO of CaseGlide, and today we're talking about the insurance aftermath of the 2018 hurricanes. Thanks so much for speaking with us today, Wesley.
Thank you, Denise. Excited to be here. Very important topic for us as we end the year.
So we had an active hurricane season. It wasn't as bad as some years have been. It seems like insurers used the last few seasons to improve technology, customer service, and some other areas. What's your take on that?
What an important question, Denise. So you got, you have this insurtech marketing that where we're seeing that the whole world has changed, and then you have a hurricane. You have a couple of hurricanes, and you say to yourself, well, let's take a look back, right? And I've seen kind of some specific short articles on this topic, but I'm so glad that we get to talk about this because I think it is important to, I won't say comprehensively, but dive a little deeper into, well, what did InsurTech do in the instance of our most important insurance event? I think that cannot be argued. The most important event in the entire industry, I mean, other than a tsunami or, an earthquake, which sometimes isn't necessarily an insurance event, is hurricane. So how did InsurTech step up to the plate? To answer that, you got to just take a time machine a little bit. Think about how much the property and casualty industry has changed in the past 10 years. You think about what we were doing, how we managed claims back during Katrina and during the 2004-2005 storms, and then you think about today, you really wouldn't recognize not only the industry, but kind of your typical policyholders' expectations. And I started my career as an insurance defense attorney, and the first things that came across my desk were those 2005-2006 hurricane claims. And you look at these claims files, and you'd see communication so slow, you'd be pulling your hair out today. The communication with the insurers was done solely by sending letters and then trying to make phone calls and not being able to reach each other. And it's hard for me to remember what it must have felt like as an insured or even as an insurer and just sit there and wait. I mean, obviously, you were handling your other 150 claims in the interim, but on the insurance side, but just imagine what that was like. Sometimes you have those instances with customer service today and your mind's blown. Can you imagine how hard when there was a million Hurricane Wilma claims, how hard it was for the insurer industry to just communicate with their insureds with just letters and unanswered phone calls. Then you fast forward to 2018, and people expect perfect customer service. And then when you have something like this where there's an emergency or there's a situation where a heightened level of customer service is expected, might I even say proactive, people are going to be mad right off the bat, no matter if you are perfect or not, unless you just handle it without them even thinking about it. And so you look back, you say, if an insurer tried to handle one claim today, like they handled the Wilma claims or the Katrina claims, you'd see a lawsuit before you even got the first letter out. So let's start with the lesson that we learned from the last couple of hurricanes. I'll say one thing that was a concern before I get into all the positive things that have happened as a result of the passage of time and the increased demands and the meeting of those demands by the industry. There was one thing we do got to think about. We're getting reports that there were a lot of complaints from Hurricane Michael, and what it sounds like as you drill down into it was that the Wi-Fi and cellular outage for, I think it was around a week, that this was a major obstacle and roadblock for the industry and, of course, for the insureds. And as an industry, we're definitely going to have to take a look at this moving forward because it kind of throws us all for a loop. So I wanted to throw that out there first, but back on to the good news. After Hurricanes Michael and Florence this year, you had some real examples of the InsurTech movement taking its course in the industry. And that's just such an awesome thing to see. If only we could see this operate as fast when there wasn't a hurricane. So you had, you know, you can Google it, State Farm with the drones to inspect the damage. I mean, it's just awesome stories about insurers being able to rapidly inspect properties and skip so many steps in the process. You see the house is destroyed, you issue the check. And then all of us, interestingly enough, had satellite imagery. So, you know, I don't know if you saw it on LinkedIn or if somebody emailed it to you, but I think it was the NOAA was publishing the ability to just zoom in wherever you wanted to do after Hurricane Michael on the panhandle. And so if you didn't have a drone, you were able to still sit at a desk and see a total loss and get that thing paid. To me, the most exciting thing was that several of our clients were utilizing the virtual claims adjusting apps. And so if you haven't seen those apps, it's another really exciting thing you got to take a look at. And if you have 20 minutes, take a demo. And your mind will be, you know, blown when you see how insurers can have someone sit at their desk, inspect the property, write an estimate without ever getting out of the chair. And you would not believe what that application looks like. And when you think about the time associated with just trying to schedule an inspection, and if you have to do 150 of those, how much that can back you up. The virtual claims adjusting apps, how long will it be until they're just a requirement in every claim? I mean, it's night and day. And then last but not least, you had the aggregation of social media becoming a part of the reporting chain. And so we have clients who have the ability to have a dashboard that intakes all social media channels and treats them just as if they were a phone call or a letter in. And that's just so important to be able to meet your customer where your customer is. So you're able to see the drones. You're able to see the satellite imagery. You're able to see the virtual claims adjusting apps, and you're able to see all in social media in action. And, you know, a lot of these companies in Michael and Florence were able to really deploy these things because they had the opportunity to test them in Harvey and Irma just a year prior.
So one aspect that comes up continually each hurricane season is the flood insurance gap. What are your thoughts on this?
This is a really important question because it's one of those situations where a market need is not being met. And not surprisingly, it's as a result of government involvement. I'm not sure what's driving this engine, but I know its impacts. And you're seeing so much flooding after these hurricanes in areas that aren't flood designated or areas that are right next to flood designation. So, for example, we had in Mexico Beach in the Panhandle, which was, you know, right in the path of Hurricane Michael. I'm hearing that there was a steep grade from the water to kind of the residential area where it went up something like 15 to 25 feet over the course of, you know, maybe 50 yards. So you had homes sitting there in the middle of the ocean, basically, give or take 25, 50 yards. And they didn't need to have flood coverage, even though they were just steps away from a massive ocean that sometimes, as we see, just operates as a gas tank for a hurricane. And so those homes, they weren't required to have flood insurance. And this is not the first time we've seen that. I mean, basically, all the major flood disasters lately have been in places that weren't flood zones that required flood coverage. So, like with anything else, the private market is a solution, and there are plenty, and what's exciting is that there are plenty of people that are all over this topic that are talking about the economics of this, how just it doesn't make any sense. I can't even imagine what is behind the continued push to leave the government in charge of the flood program. and all the ramifications that that has for even a private insurer today that wants to do flood business. So it's having the flood insurance problem is having as big of an impact as anything in the industry, and maybe even arguably as big of an impact as everything else in the industry combined. There's so much money there too. We have friends that have flood insurance companies, MGAs, that are just, they have the technology to be able to write these policies much less expensive for much less cost. And so everybody can win. And, you know, my thoughts on this are, I'm just really eager. I think there's a lot of people that have been victims of the political mess that's been created by this. How many times do people's lives have to be ruined for them to take action? And the technology and the people and the companies, they're all ready. They're all armed and ready to go. The second that the flip is switched, that all the risk will be transferred to private markets where it'll be handled so much better. So I just can't wait for that moment, Denise, so we can get this whole thing behind us.
So reflecting on past hurricane seasons, how do you think 2018 fared?
So let's just kind of recap it real quick. We had Hurricane Florence, which everybody thought was the end of the world. If you watched any of the news shows leading up to it, I mean, even I was scared, and I was 10-hour drive from there. But it weakened down to a Category 1 when it made landfall. And the latest estimates that I've seen are about $15 to $20 billion in damage, which puts it as a significant hurricane, but not one that, you know, threatens the stability of the industry. And then right after that, you had Michael. And Michael, unlike Florence, didn't weaken as it made landfall. It made landfall as a Category 4. Very scary. And they're estimating that at $15 to $20 billion in damage, too. So, to your point earlier about it seemed like it was a little better. Well, it was. It was better than the year before, but we didn't really have many hurricane issues for so long between 05 and 06 and 2017, other than, you know, Matthew and a couple of others, that, you know, it's we're just maybe hardened to it because those were two significant hurricanes, Florence and Michael. But to your point, by comparison, Hurricane Irma estimates right now are at $50 billion, which is, you know, arguably double Florence and Michael combined. And then Harvey is at $100 billion. So, you know, trying not to overcomplicate things here. Clearly, 2018 was definitely much better than 2017. I think that it's one of those things in insurance where nobody's a genius here. It just happens to be that these hurricanes hit different areas. You know, Irma just covered the entire state of Florida, where virtually, you know, the largest portion of the risk in the world for property and casualty. And Florence and Michael simply did not hit areas that populated. And to, you know, tie this all together, Denise, you zoom out, you look, and you say, well, technology, or one of my takeaways on 2018 is technology is really starting to level the playing field. So when I talk to my clients now, it doesn't matter what size they are. They're all doing those things that you would think that would be reserved only for the top 10 insurers, the virtual claims adjusting, the drones, the satellite imagery. I mean, they all have the access to it. And I think that that's really exciting because it sounds a lot similar to other industries where technology became so powerful and so cheap, for lack of a better word, that everybody could enjoy the same level of service. And companies all had the opportunity to beat, you know, Goliath, no matter how small they were. And that's really something that you want happening in the industry. And this is, you know, we're going to be talking about these things a lot more in 2019, right, Denise, on the Insights in InsurTech podcast. But definitely technology is in InsurTech. In the form of hurricanes, I mean, this is where we're seeing maybe the most impact. The it's so exciting to see that any size insurer can provide better customer service than even the largest insurers. So we have that leveling the playing field because of drones, because of virtual adjusting apps, because of satellite imagery, and because of the instantaneous ability to communicate with policyholders via social media. So I think 2018 was great. I think it was once again the strong evidence that this industry is ready for any event. And being an InsurTech nerd, but one that's not as annoying as many of the others, I think that what's really cool for me about the hurricanes is the ability to kind of dip a thermometer into the InsurTech marketplace and take the temperature and see, all right, where are we at with this? And when you see that it's having such an impact and helping so many people, you start to get excited about, well, we've seen how much it's changed in 10 years. What will it look like, you know, in 2025? So I'm really excited, Denise. I think 2018 was another prime example, and I'm excited to see what the insurance companies are already doing now, prepping for the next storm.
Thank you. Wesley Todd, CEO of CaseGlide.